ever be given. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and lived that we might have peace with you and reconciliation with you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to Christmas morning here. Just want to say thanks for coming out and worshiping. We had a great service last night. I think we had about 95 in attendance. And of course, you never know what Christmas Day is going to bring when Christmas falls on a Sunday. But it's great to see that a lot of you guys came back today. So I guess I didn't scare you off last night. So good to have you here. All right. So it's Christmas morning. I don't know if some of you guys already broke into your gifts or not, but I want you to think for a second, was there ever a best gift that you've ever received? Let's have a little participation this morning, because it's going to be a shorter message. Is there anything that you can think of? And you can contextualize it. It could be when you were a kid. It could be more recent. Is there a gift that you just was like, yes, I got this gift? This is a tough one, I know. I'll let you have a couple if you want. There were some good answers last night when Kim was asking the kids last night, what was the favorite thing about Christmas? One of the kids right away said, the presents, right? Of course, there's always that one kid that says Jesus. Jesus, Bible, God, those are the answers. Is there a gift? All right, very. Well, no, we can broaden it.
I can say I was really tired one day and I had to clean up my office for the beginning of the season. And I got there all prepared, coming out here to the morning to do it, and it was completely spotless.
All right. We won't name which daughter, though, right? We'll keep that a mystery. All right, that's a good gift, yeah. What else? Yeah. Wow, how about that? That's a pretty good gift right there. Maybe a couple others here. Really, my kids? You guys don't have a favorite gift? Carla. All right. Absolutely. Kids are great. Oh, look at the kids. Okay. Your first guitar. All right. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so I'm going to share with you guys this morning three gifts that I can vividly remember, contextualize it in the context of my upbringing as a child. And so I'm going to, if you don't know, my dad was a police officer, and so I idolized my dad growing up. And so I got this gift here, which was like a police helmet. It was blue, actually, not white. And it had this visor and all the attachments to it. But I also had an infatuation with the fire department too. And so I thought I was invincible anytime I put my helmet on and I would stick my head in the fireplace because I was like, you know, that's what firemen do. So, but I remember that gift and kind of connected to the idea of putting my head in the fireplace. Of course, my parents didn't see it. I kind of figured out fires are hot and things like that very quickly, especially when my plastic visor started to melt a little bit. So, but I think it was just a long, slow burn. So, but I remember getting this as a little kid, and I loved it. And it came with it's not a quad, but the three-legged vehicles. What do they call those? The motorized? What? It's not a quad because quad's four, right? Try. Yeah. So those were big until they figured out those were dangerous. So that had a little toy police one, and I used to ride around the house with it. So I remember this gift vividly. The next one I remember that I was really excited about was this, my first bike, okay? Before cars and all that and parents were willing to drive you everywhere, it was either walk or bike. And I remember getting my first 10-speed bike, which is kind of funny right now because this is kind of like an ancient, you know, antiquated technology right now. We have mountain bikes with all this and gears. Where we used to live in Connecticut, there was an outdoor sports store right at the bottom of our street, and they had bikes they sold. And one of my students used to work for the bike store, and I said, "What's the most expensive bike you've ever sold?" He said, "Oh, some guy came in and bought a bike for $30,000. Yeah, some people are like, "Yeah, I get it," right? And I was like, $30,000, that's a car. I'm like, but this was a Raleigh Blue Racer, and I was like pumped to have this. And then the last gift I was really excited about, I was in kind of more in my teenage years, was this. Before iPods, there was the Sony Walkman. And some of you guys remember the Walkmans, right? And you had a cassette tape player, things like that. You know the trouble of it get wound up in your player and then having to unspool it and all this stuff. I mean, all the things we had to go through now that kids don't even have to deal with. It was also fun when you had a tape that was totally broken. I remember being on the school bus, we used to like hold the ribbon part and just let it fly out the window as the bus is driving down the road. But these three gifts, I remember growing up, these were big time gifts for me to receive. And I remember being so excited about these gifts. You know, as a kid, you know, you want to show your friends your bike, you want to show your friends, you know, the new toys that you got and things like that. And with the Walkman, man, you were there. You had arrived. And so these were a big deal. And so I remember telling people all the time about that. Well, this morning, we're going to get into John here, John chapter 1. And if you have your Bibles, I just ask that you open up there. But what's really cool about John chapter 1, the Apostle John writes the book, but it features John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is excited about something here in John chapter 1. And so we're going to look at the greatest gift that was ever given, and John's excitement about that gift. And we're going to see what made it so special. So would you stand with me and pray? Lord God, I thank you for this morning. We are thankful that we are reminded once again how much you care and love us, and that you would send your son, Jesus, to prove that to us. You know the condition that we were in. You know the condition that a lot of people are in and how that sin separates us. And your great desire to not have anything stand between us and you, you sent your son Jesus to show us what it is to look, what real love looks like, to show us what sacrifice looks like, and what victory looks like as well. And so again, this is why we're here this morning. We celebrate you. We celebrate your great love. And we praise you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to begin in the first 16 verses of John chapter 1. And the words are on the screen here as well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was nothing anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "That was he of whom I had said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." You may be seated. So what's the gift that John the Baptist is excited about? His whole ministry was telling people about the coming of Jesus. And so what we find out here in verse 14 is this thing that John is really excited about. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And so what we have going on here is the Word, who was revealed as God in verse 1, became flesh. That is, he became human. God dwelt among us. God-man embodied as Jesus Christ. Now, John focuses on two things, and they come into clear view when you get into verse 14 through 16. And it's this idea of truth and grace. And so you can see that in verse 14, both of these are present, but grace gets the emphasis, right? And how do we know that? Because verse 16 says this. It says, "And from his fullness we have received grace upon grace." And so what's really cool here is that we have this emphasis on grace. The Apostle John, you know, he could have wrote truth upon truth, right? He could have concluded that way, but he says grace upon grace. In fact, this is the verse, the word grace here. It's really interesting. If you go through John, grace never turns up again. The word grace never turns up again. But the word truth, or truly, will occur over 55 times over the next few chapters in John. And so we're not minimizing the truth. John is not minimizing truth, but he, in essence, he actually says truth is the way grace works. And so it's passages here, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Sanctify them in the truth of your word. Your word is truth." But again, at the beginning of John's gospel, is the emphasis falls on grace. This is really important for us to see, and it's really important for the world to see, is this idea of grace. What John is saying is that the way people meet God today and see God today, to get to know God today, is by looking at the grace of Jesus Christ. This is pretty powerful stuff. And so the greatest gift that was ever given was the grace of God made known through Jesus Christ. And this is what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the gift of grace that has come in Jesus. John makes this clear, that the world would experience grace of God, and it's this grace that will lead people to eternal salvation. As we come together this morning to worship the gift of Jesus Christ this morning, I want us to think about, how can we extend grace, the grace that has been extended to us, to others? I think this is really important. For those of us who follow after Jesus, we say he is our Lord and Savior. We understand something, that God didn't treat us the way we deserved. If we were to get what we deserved, it would be a whole different outcome. There wouldn't be a whole lot of hope for us. There wouldn't be a whole lot of peace or joy or love. But because God didn't treat us the way we deserve, because of our sin, it's much different for us. And in that is grace. And so when I think we extend grace to others, when we have situations, and Christmas is a beautiful time. It's where I think sometimes we get tested the most, because we're together with families and things like that. We're sharing different opinions. We're mixing up in conversation. And no doubt at some point, someone's going to say something that will annoy you. That's going to bother you. They're going to treat you the way that you didn't want to be treated, or you wouldn't treat that person that way. And yet, here's the moment. As a Christian, as a Christ follower, someone who's trying to follow the footsteps, the example that Jesus has left for us, here's your opportunity to show grace in those moments. And that's really huge. And I think when we do that, we really honor the Lord. We really honor what Christmas is all about. Because Christmas is about Jesus coming, God's love for us, so that we wouldn't be separated from God. And he gives us this incredible gift. He gives us his son, Jesus. And we know that Jesus' life was leading to the cross. But we also know that he was victorious over death. And if we put our faith and trust in him, we have this repaired relationship with God. And so we don't get what we deserve. Jesus took it on himself. The anger, the frustration that God had towards us from walking away from him, he creates a way back to him. Now, one last thing I want to share about the Gospel of John, which I think is really cool. Remember, I said grace only shows up in chapter 1 here, and you don't see it. But as if you read through the rest of John's Gospel to the end, what you really see is the entire Gospel of John is proof of God's grace. Is proof of God's grace. And I would include the other Gospels as well. Because as we read through it, we learn of the deeds and the words of Jesus. We see the interactions with people, and he's constantly treating people with this love and respect. And he's trying to move them towards wholeness. He's trying to move them towards relationship with God. He encounters all sorts of sinful people, and yet he shows grace almost in every situation, his interactions with others. And ultimately, it leads towards the end of the Gospels, the Gospels' account of his death and resurrection. And so, even though the word grace doesn't appear after this point, the book is loaded with example after example of Jesus extending grace to people. Example after example. And so, this is my prayer. That number one, grace finds you this Christmas morning. That grace finds you. But equally, my prayer is this, is that we extend grace to others as it's been extended to us. That we show the world what Jesus is like and why he came. And then like John the Baptist, we share this grace in excitement with everybody we encounter. And I'll leave you with the words of John 14:15-16. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him, and he cried out. John could not contain it. This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you love us this much. Sometimes when we approach Christmas, it gets kind of relegated into children's stories and things like that. But there is something incredible happening here. That you would enter into our world, you would enter into our pain. You would enter into all the things that we would experience. You came and were right there by our side through it all. You experienced life as we experienced it. And in that, you showed us a better way. You showed us a way to your Father. And you showed us your Father's love. This is pretty powerful stuff. God, I pray as followers, as people who profess to know you, that we would show this world what you're like. And may we win people over with the grace that you've extended us. I pray, Lord, that we would pass that on to others. And I pray, Lord, that people would really come to know who your Son Jesus is this Christmas. I ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to sing Joy of the World. I couldn't think of a better song to end a sermon like this about announcing just the love of Christ to this world. So would you stand with us for our closing song? Oh, I said Joy of the World, but it's Go Tell It on the Mountain. Surprise. It's Christmas, right? You like surprises.
Tell it on the mountain, over the hills. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lonely manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
I pray that you go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry God bless. Christmas.